Jamon G on the fly down at the IAC Pavilion. The rain has cleared away, and it's turning into a nice afternoon now. It's cooled off, and we're sitting here talking about aerobatics and all the fun stuff that goes along with that. Mike Heuer of the IAC is going to tell us about this interesting new display they have in their pavilion down here this year.
Yes, as I said before, our theme this year is grassroots to the top of the world, and we're featuring 15 famous American aerobatic pilots that really achieved a lot, starting at the grassroots, but all the way up to the titles of World Aerobatic Champion. And it makes such a wonderful story that I think even anyone would enjoy reading because and looking at our exhibit. Because we start the exhibit with a fellow from Waco, Texas, by the name of Frank Price. And Frank was a story unto himself. I could talk all day about him. But what he did is he shipped an old Great Lakes airplane, which I was talking about earlier.
The biplane.
The old biplane with a Warner engine in it. And he shipped that thing over to Europe and got himself to Bratislava, Czechoslovakia, not knowing what the rules were going to be for the contest. There was no communication then, you know. I mean, no internet, right? And he didn't even know for sure what the rules were going to be for the contest. But he got himself there, and he was the only American there in 1960 to represent our country.
Wow.
And so, and it was tough because he had to leave his airplane there afterward because he didn't have the money. So he had to go back and crop dust for a while, and then so he could ship the airplane back. Needless to say, he didn't do too well, but he showed our flag, and we've got a picture of Frank in the exhibit, of him standing all by himself with a little Czech guy holding the American flag, and right next to him is a full team from the Soviet Union, you know, of about 10 pilots.
And we're talking about Iron Curtain
time. Iron Curtain time. We're talking about 1960 here,
yeah.
Right in the middle of the Cold War, you know, right when Gary Francis Powers got shot down in the U-2. All of that was taking place at this time. Khrushchev was the premier of the Soviet Union. So this was really tough time, and he was behind the Iron Curtain in Czechoslovakia. So anyway, and it's such an iconic photo because here you got a guy that did it all on his own, very much in the American way, solo. He financed it himself. He figured out how to get there. And he's up against a state-sponsored team that's all they do.
Yep.
All they do is train and are fully financed by their government. And still, even to this day, which is now 56 years later, we still are faced with that situation because American teams... We finance ourselves, we raise the money ourselves, and for the most part, the financial burden of participating over there falls to the pilots themselves. And
Very few sponsors.
Very few sponsors, yeah. And so they really carry the burden, but yet every year, every championships, we have a full team over there. So we start with Frank, and we work all the way up to our national champion who participated in the World Championships last year in France. That, of course, being Rob Holland. So, and Rob achieved something that no other pilot has ever done over there. He's now won what they call the final freestyle event 3 times in a row at the World Championships, and nobody's ever achieved that. So we're real proud of Rob. And many of what you see in his air show performance out here are the kind of maneuvers that he does.
His tumbling stuff,
the gyroscopics and the tumbling is what you'd see in the final freestyle, which is also called the 4-minute free. But anyway, and we go through a whole bunch of pilots, but some of the other people that are here on site that are part of the group is Gene Soucy, who flies, his big cat out there.
Mm-hmm.
In the
I
night.
Know this name here.
Mary Gaffney, of course, is also in the exhibit, and she was the Women's World Aerobatic Champion in 72.
Anybody in South Florida who's gotten a pilot certificate may
have probably got it from her, right?
Yep,
or know
that's
who,
right.
Know who she is.
Yep.
Kermit Weeks is here on site. He's selling his books over there in the warehouse, so you can get an autographed copy.
He's wearing
Kermit's
a whole bunch of hats this year.
Yeah,
with the Martin Mars.
Oh yeah, the Martin Mars, and yeah, he's all over the place.
He was flying boat.
They gave him a big award this morning at the annual meeting, and then Patty Wagstaff is here. She's been on the team in the past, and we're telling her story here, and she's flying in the show as well as Kirby Chambliss, Debbie Reen Harvey. So we've got a lot of people to be proud of here. And they're all part of our exhibit. Some of them, but many of the others, though, are gone or couldn't make it.
Yeah. Well, It's a very nice exhibit. We would encourage anybody on grounds here to get down to IAC and look through that exhibit because there's a lot of good information.
And you don't mind if I give you a commercial plug?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, the other thing we're doing is offering here at Oshkosh a 6-month free membership in the club.
No kidding.
Yeah, so they just come in, fill out a form, and they'll start getting our magazines.
Let's do it. Let's get them down here.
It's really
and
to get
up.
People in touch with us, what we're doing, and if they have any interest in aerobatics at all, it'll be well worth their time.
All right. We're going to talk to Gary DeBond, who you've invited to join us. Could you introduce Gary for us?
Yes. Gary's been a member of IAC for 40-plus years, I believe, and has been this is the second year as our contest director for the National Aerobatic Championships, which will be held in the last part of September in Sherman, Denison, Texas. And Gary's an experienced competitor and owns a pits, but also, this is really cool, I hope you can get to talk him to talk about this. He did a 3,000-mile bike trip from the Atlantic to the Pacific.
Whoa.
Just this year.
So, are we talking about a Harley or a
no,
bicycle?
No, we're talking about a real bike.
Okay, so, wow, that's an achievement.
Gary's tough. I mean, if you look at his legs, they're like iron, you know. But, yeah. But anyway, he's organizing that thing, but he's also an experienced pilot in his own right and a competitor. So.
Well, what I'm excited about is to talk to Gary about something our listeners might not know, and that is, how do you invent a competition? How do you set up and how do you decide what will be involved and how do you get pilots to attend, all that stuff? Let's start A to Z. Start with the A.
Going from A to Z, well, I'll tell you, first off, there's three of us that work hard all year long to put this contest together. It's not as big as Oshkosh, that's obvious, but it still takes an awful lot of work. And Mike and myself and our manager, Trish, inside, we're the ones that actually really work all year long to put this together. So it's not an easy thing to do. And one of the things we first start off with, obviously, is the contest waiver. That's where we get a waiver from the FAA for the airspace that we're going to use for the contest. So we set up a box that we use that the contest, the pilots fly in. They fly in a box that they have to stay in. That has to be set up. And once we get that box established, we send this waiver to our FAA, the local FISDO. They approve the waiver that we can use to fly the contest on.
How do you decide where to put the contest?
If you're talking about the Nationals, that's pretty easy because we've had it down in Denison, Texas at the North Texas Regional Airport for the last 40-some years, I believe 42 years or something like that. Wow. So that's not a problem there. If you're looking for a new site, then it takes off a completely different meaning. It's very difficult to find a good site. There's a lot of things that you have to look for.
But you, before you get to the national level, you have local IAC competitions.
Yes.
Do you also develop the rules for those?
We do, and we have a lot of regional contests. And once again, we go through the same process that we do here for the Nationals. It's just more on a regional level, and it's a little bit easier.
Yeah, how do they decide where they're going to have it? Do they find an aerobatic community that sponsors it with a local airport and develops that airspace and that aerobatic box?
That's a good question. I've been to many contests that we've had to move over the years. And I'll just give you an example for Chapter 78, which is in Minneapolis. For many years, we had it at the Albert Lea Regional Airport. And then what happens is you have development going on. And at some point, the traffic gets to be too much for you, or the local people start to complain about the noise, and you end up having to search for another airport. Now, we did have moved our contest from Albert Lea down to Spencer, Iowa. Hmm. And it's been down there now for about the last 5 years. But you have to have the facilities available. You have to have the hangar space available. There's just a lot of things that go into thinking about where do you want to hold your next contest. A lot of stuff goes into it that I just really can't remember at the moment.
How many regional contests a year do we have before you select the competitors for the Nationals?
I believe there's probably close to 30, maybe 35 regional contests around the country before we move into the Nationals.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you have the locations, you get that all set up. Now the contest itself.
Yes. Oh, that's going to take a long time to talk about.
Oh, well,
I'll be real simple about it.
Yeah,
once we
just outline it for
sure,
us.
Sure. We have to have a group of contest officials. These are all volunteers, and we have to have those in place before anything can happen. And if you just want me to run down through the list real quick, I can do that.
Sure.
Obviously, we have to have a contest director, like myself for the Nationals. We have to have an assistant contest director in case the contest director gets sick or something should happen to that effect. We have to have a jury chair, a jury chairman, and a jury. And what they do is anytime that we have a protest or we have any issues, the contest jury goes to the rules book, and they determine, can we fix this problem through the standard rules that we have, or do we have to come up with some other solution? We also have a volunteer coordinator, which we rely on very heavily to put all of our volunteer force together, and they determine what each volunteer will do. Like, we have a lot of judges that judge the contest. We have to determine who is available for that particular job, put that together. We have chief judges. We have a judge for every particular category. And the chief judge runs the judging line. We have judges for our primary contest, for our intermediate, for advanced, and also for unlimited.
Okay, so those are the categories for regional and nationals.
And for the nationals. Now, the nationals are a little bit different because you can't just have a regular regional judge. You must be a national judge to be a judge at the National Aerobatic Championship.
Okay.
Just a little bit higher caliber for that.
I understand. So let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to keep discussing the National Aerobatic Championships. Okay. J. Mont G., we're on the fly. You're listening to EAA Radio.